When I came to this country, I was treated badly. Being a single woman and a foreigner with a Jewish name. So, I admit I am tempted by the social power.
That German woman had him in her sights before we left. I can't think she's been treading water since.
So why not Finn?
He switches between women like post horses. How many more has he wiped off his heart with a damp cloth?
Marry me, Phineas. I'm no longer young, and I want you and a sweet baby of my own.
There are other factors.
Then I'd better leave.
Oh, Marie, please, wait.
The Palaces, dramatised by Mike Harris. Based on the novels by Anthony Trollope.
Have you ever felt that someone very close to you had a secret too terrible to tell? And if you could go back in time to see what the secret was, would you?
Fontaine!
Phineas Finn. What an unpleasant surprise.
But you can't, of course. Being alive and therefore trapped in the tiny train of time with no return ticket.
What do you want?
But the dead and restless must go back.
An apology.
Over and over.
An apology.
And over again along the long line of time.
An apology.
Without choice. For all eternity. So now, I find myself going back to the 1870s when I am still Lady Cora, the living, breathing mother of two small children, and wife of the leading Liberal Party politician Plantagenet Palliser, who has just become the Duke of Omnium, making me his Duchess. You may come with me if you wish, as I watch a friend commit murder and get away with it.
Phineas Finn, wake up!
What is it?
Are you Mr. Phineas Finn, the MP?
Yes. What the hell are you doing in my bedroom?
You're under arrest, sir.
What? Why? What for?
Murder.
Mr. Lowe, I'm sorry to hear about your health problems. Your wife did tell us you weren't taking any more cases, but I didn't take no for an answer, and well, here we are.
May I ask who you are?
Oh. Manners. I'm the Duchess of Omnium.
Oh, Your Grace, I'm very sorry.
And this is my friend, Madame Marie Goessler, sir.
Madame, but I'm afraid my doctor says I'm to have complete rest, Your Grace.
And I'm here because another friend, Mr. Phineas Finn MP, has been arrested for murder.
Oh, dear.
The victim was Nicholas Bonteen.
Should I know the name?
Minister for Home Affairs in the last Liberal government.
Ah, well, politics is not
You'll
my,
take the case?
No, but I could recommend a capable colleague.
Oh, we came to your house because you have a reputation for taking and winning hopeless cases.
Well, that is most flattering.
And this case feels so very hopeless, Mr. Lowe.
Why?
There is an eyewitness
who claims he saw Phineas do it.
I see. Well, my colleague has a case in court just now, so perhaps I could start some research for him until he's finished. But please, don't mention this to my wife when you leave.
Never, Mr. Lowe.
Tell me about Mr. Finn.
He's tall, handsome, and quite charming. He was a junior minister in the late Liberal government.
But resigned on a matter of principle, gave up his seat.
And went back to Ireland to marry his childhood sweetheart.
Who died in childbirth, leaving poor Finn bereft.
Until Mr. Palliser, the Duke, that is...
My husband.
Invited him back to contest a seat at the recent general election.
But you'd best ask him about the politics.
I'd like to speak to Finn first. Where is he being held?
Newgate.
You never really loved me, Phineas.
I did, Mary. Please, I truly did.
It was that English woman, and then the German. And now I'm dead, and our wee baby's dead too.
No.
And you've gone off to London to sell your soul to the devil again, leaving us all alone in this terrible cold grave.
No.
Oh, Mr. Finn, I'm so sorry. Would you like me to come back later?
No. I had a nightmare, that's all. Who are you?
My name is Lowe. My colleague has been engaged by the Duke and Duchess of Omnium to represent you at the trial.
There won't be a trial.
Well, why not?
Because I'm innocent.
and obviously incapable of killing anyone.
And if I said there's an eyewitness who says he saw you kill Nicholas Bonte?
Well, I'd say you were lying. Or your witness is. Although, to be perfectly honest, there certainly were times when I would have liked to kill the man.
Yes, well, I'd advise you not to mention that in court. So, what did happen, Mr. Finn?
Well, I don't know. I didn't see it. The police told me the murder took place in an alleyway running into the Strand. But I wasn't there. Who is this eyewitness?
Lord Fawn. Why is that amusing?
Fawn was more likely to murder Bontine than me.
Why?
Because he hated him even more.
Why?
Bontine humiliated Fawn constantly. And owed him an awful lot of money to boot.
Why would a creditor kill his debtor?
Bontine was a leech. Fawn went into more and more debt so he could keep lending to him.
How do you know?
Fawn told me when he was drunk, which he often is. Impossible to be Bontine's bagman and stay sober.
Why would Fawn go into debt to lend...
Because Bontine had some sort of hold over him.
What kind of hold?
Well, Bontine would taunt Fawn about his proclivities.
Were these proclivities very bad?
For Fawn to put up with constant humiliation? Now, what do you think? But also, Bontine was a self-made man from the Belfast slums. Lord Fawn was rich, stupid, and entitled.
So, if Fawn had a motive and was there, why wasn't he arrested?
Well, didn't Cora tell you?
No.
Fawn's the Queen's cousin.
Now, until the Bontine murder, I considered Lord Fawn to be a dim but amiable friend. But as there were only two suspects in this case, and I couldn't believe Finn had done it, I decided it had to be Lord Fawn, and so, presumably, did Mr. Lowe, whose next step, and therefore ours, is to the large townhouse that Lord Fawn could no longer afford, thanks to Nicholas Bontine's demands.
I'm afraid his lordship is not receiving visitors, sir.
I'm calling about the trial.
He has been advised to talk to no one about the trial apart from police. Are you a policeman?
No, my colleague will be representing the defendant.
His lordship has been advised especially not to talk to anyone representing the defendant. Good day, sir.
But I really...
Our intrepid barrister now calls upon my husband, Plantagenet Palliser, who greets Mr. Lowe at our Bloomsbury residence with rather more politeness than Lord Fawn's servant.
Brandy?
No, thank you, Your Grace.
Will you be leaving us, my dear?
Oh, no, Planty, I'll be staying.
I thought you had an appointment.
Put it off till 11.
Oh, very well.
Now, you must spare no expense, Mr. Lowe. We'll pay whatever's required to save Finn's life.
Oh, thank you.
So, what can I do for you?
I got the impression from Finn that he didn't like Bontine.
That was entirely mutual, Mr. Lowe.
Why was that?
Bontine was a Belfast Orangeman and Finn's a Catholic from County Cork.
And that was all?
Isn't that normally enough?
But Bontine also thought that Finn used his charms to unfair political advantage.
Which was nonsense, of course.
And there were political issues.
What sort of political issues?
You now have to listen to my husband discuss the political intricacies he loves. But do bear with him, because it's pertinent. And unlike me, you are not condemned to listen to it over and over again for all eternity.
Finn tends towards the radical wing of the Liberal Party, whereas Bontine most certainly didn't. And before he returned to Ireland, Finn and some other radicals voted against the government.
And Bontine held that against him?
Precisely. He thought it disloyal. So did I. But I accepted that Finn had acted on principle. Bontine didn't. He was convinced that Finn's speech had lost us the vote and therefore helped bring the Tories back into power. And their feud reopened on the day I walked Finn back into Parliament.
Bontine, we're going into the House for a debate and I need you to bring this gentleman up to date, shall we?
Oh, Finn! Begorra, I thought we got rid of you so. Still bad pennies and all that. I never knew a man with such luck.
What luck?
Resign in disgrace, scuttle off to Cork, and hey presto, a new seat simply drops into your lap.
That's not entirely fair, Bontine.
I've certainly been lucky to have the support of Palliser here.
And your ladies.
Meaning what, sir?
I've had one pestering my wife to give you a job ever since you re-emerged.
Which one?
Marie Gersler. I assume you know her. Or should I say, have known.
My God, Bontine, you take that back now, or I'll knock you back to Belfast.
This would have been the lady who came to my office with your wife.
Yes, they're good friends.
She was acquainted with Bonteen?
Yes.
And Finn?
Yes.
Well acquainted?
They met socially.
But it was the 10-hour bill that relit the spark between Bonteen and Finn.
The 10-hour bill?
And my husband is more than willing to explain, of course.
A bill to reduce the working hours of labourers in factories to 10 hours a day. It was a key Liberal policy at the general election.
But let's avoid the rest of this and go back to Parliament, where my husband has deftly interposed his person between red-faced Finn and taunting Bonteen.
That's enough! Both of you.
I won't have Marie insulted, Planté.
Be quiet, Finn.
So it's Marie now, is it?
You too, Bonteen. There's a crucial debate starting in there, and I need you to tell Finn what your Tory friend told you. Bonteen?
If I must.
You must.
Daubney expects to face another general election soon, so he's going to put forward his own 10-hour bill.
What?
He plans to steal the votes of skilled labourers from under our noses.
And because it's our policy, he thinks we'll have to back him.
My God, he's clever.
And if we don't, he's betting on knee-jerk radicals like yourself voting for it, Finn, and therefore splitting us in two.
Gresham's determined that we'll bring it in, not the Tories, but only when we're ready.
So what do we do about Daubney's bill?
Vote against it.
But I campaigned on the 10-hour bill.
It'll still be our policy.
Even if we vote against it?
Listen carefully. We vote against the Tory bill. They lose, the Queen asks us to form a government, and then we bring in our own 10-hour bill. Have you got it now, Finn? But if you pull another trick like your last one, I'll personally make sure you never hold office again. Even if your Marie Gersler cries her eyes out in my doorstep.
Bonteen!
No, Finn. Take a deep breath. Follow me. Sit as far away from him as you can, yes?
Yes.
Good. And once more into the Mother of Parliaments, dear friend.
Order! Order!
Is that exactly what Bonteen said?
Which?
Your Madame Gosler.
I think so.
Did you detect a certain jealousy in that yawl?
Well,
no. That is to say, my husband didn't, because there wasn't.
Were you there, Your Grace?
Of course not, but Planty told me, didn't you, dear?
I...
Planty, do continue explaining the 10-hour bill fiasco to Mr. Lowe.
In the end, it split both parties, so single votes were going to decide the issue. Finn caught the Speaker's eye at a decisive moment. Bonteen saw it and couldn't resist.
Time to rot on us again, Finn.
I voted against my party, but I retain the respect of every MP in this House whose opinions I give a damn about, sir.
The Right Honourable Member for Tankerville.
Then Finn got up and gave a better speech than Bonteen had just given, which wouldn't have gone down well.
Mr. Speaker, like many MPs in this chamber, my mind is divided on this issue. But there is one thing on which I am clear. Our Constitution is built on majorities. There can be no legitimate government without a majority, and without one, it is a usurpation and a tyranny.
What nonsense!
The party opposite is trying to govern without a majority by stealing from my party a measure they simply do not believe in. So I will be voting against this bill in order to remove tyranny from this house.
In the end, we defeated Daubney by a handful of votes, and it was generally felt that Finn's speech made the difference. The Tories resigned, the Queen called us in again, and on which note, I have business in the Lords.
One last question, Your Grace.
Quickly.
Finn claims Bonteen bullied Lord Fawn, did he?
Nicholas Bonteen could be unkind, and not just to Lord Fawn.
But he was especially unkind to Fawn, Planty.
Possibly.
I've heard him myself, Mr. Lowe.
Why did Lord Fawn put up with it?
I really don't know, Mr. Lowe. Now, if you'll excuse me...
Your friend's life may depend on your answers to my questions. So please sit down until I have finished. Your Grace.
Continue.
Did you personally hear Bonteen bully or humiliate Lord Fawn?
Yes.
When?
The night he was murdered.
Where?
At the Liberal Club. After we defeated the Tory bill, I'd invited Finn for an evening meal there to thank him for his speech. I arrived first and found Bonteen celebrating with Lord Fawn in attendance, as usual.
Pause, sir. Have a drink.
Of course.
Porter, isn't it?
Mr. Bonteen is confident of the chancellorship now, Your Grace.
Not confident, Fawn. Are you deaf as well as dim? Hoping humbly. That's all, policy.
Well, that'll be down to Gresham, not me.
Damned if I let him give Finn a ministry, though. Here, policy. Live a little. You have to allow. His speech was rather good.
I'll allow him nothing, you idiot.
Then Finn entered the room. But none of us noticed, unfortunately.
Give a dog its due, Nick. He voted with us despite the risk to his own seat.
Only because he wanted to get his snout back in the ministerial trough, you lisping fool. Has that woman of his been at you as well?
Of course not.
Of course not. Because it's not women you're interested in, is it?
Please, Bontine.
Or even grown men.
Lord Fawn was clearly mortified. And to change the subject, perhaps because he'd noticed Finn, he started singing his praises. Or at least what he thought was praise.
Well, when all's said and done, you have to grant Finn the gift of the gab.
They all have it. Sweet sounds that give delight and signify nothing. But their actions never run straight. Whatever comes out of their mouths, no tags ever do.
Which tag would you be slandering today, Bontine?
You crapped up on us, sir.
Drunk, Finn. Leave it.
Would it be me, by any chance?
If the gap fits.
And take it back, sir.
I will not, sir.
Gentlemen, for heaven's sake.
I'll have an apology or...
No, Finn.
I'll have satisfaction.
And I'll be damned if you'll get one, so...
Out of here, Phineas.
I insist that he apologise.
No, Finn, outside, now.
Finn was angry.
Never seen him like it. But a duel could have killed one of them. Not to mention both their careers, and would have damaged the party.
Did Finn threaten Bontine?
No. Not in the least, did he, Planty? Do carry on.
So, I was calming him down outside when Fawn came out.
I hope you don't associate me with Bontine's remarks, Finn.
Just your own, my lord. There'd be as many inarticulate people in Catholic Ireland as anywhere else.
My dear Phineas, I meant nothing by it, and
Why
I hope...
How are you, Fawn?
Shh, he's coming. I'm off. Good night.
Good night. Best if we go too, Finn.
No. The man's hounded me ever since I came into Parliament, and twice as badly since I came back. So for tuppence, I'd...
Don't you think it's time you got back to the Lords, Planty?
For tuppence, I'd... What came after that, Your Grace?
Oh, he said something impossible to decipher. My husband gave me a detailed account, so I can tell you the rest. Because he really must go now, mustn't you?
Yes, yes. Affairs of state. Sorry, Mr. Lowe.
Your Grace, thank you.
So, shall I continue for him, Mr. Lowe?
Please do, but we shall need the Duke in court.
Oh, of course. So, Planty told me Bontine came out, saw Finn, winked insolently, and walked off whistling some kind of Irish jig.
Good night, Palliser. Good night, Paddy O'Finn.
Did the Duke say which direction Finn went in?
The same as Bontine.
Where was Bontine heading? I gather it wasn't home.
No, the opposite.
Mom?
Yes?
You told me to remind you.
Oh, thank you. I'm afraid my guests have arrived, Mr. Lowe.
Yes, yes, of course. I've finished anyway. Thank you, Your Grace. That was most enlightening. Good day.
Good day, Mr. Lowe, and thank you.
Oh, Your Grace?
Yes?
One question.
By all means.
Could I have Madame Gerstler's address?
I gave it to Lowe with some reluctance. Why question Marie? Was it simply because she was unmarried, foreign, and therefore inherently fatale? At any rate, her house on the Strand was his next port of call.
I understand, madame, that you lobbied Nicholas Bontine on behalf of Mr. Finn?
Yes.
Why?
Milk and sugar?
Neither, I'm afraid.
Mr. Finn had been a good friend to me before he left for Ireland, and he'd suffered tragic losses over there, so when I heard he was back, I wanted to help him.
Oh, thank you.
Gatto?
No, thank you. My wife can smell cake, no matter how long ago I've eaten it. Why did you think Bontine would be responsive? Didn't he hate Finn?
Mr. Bontine was known to be susceptible to ladies. So I thought it worth a try.
Perhaps I will just have a small slice. Bontine seemed to think that other women apart from you... Oh, thank you. Very nice. More active on Finn's behalf.
Only one that I know of.
Who?
Cora.
Why?
As she said when we first met. Finn was her friend as well, but...
Yes.
When Cora became the Duchess of Omnium, she acquired great political power.
Really? How so?
I will answer Lowe's question, as it concerns a pivotal moment in my story, not Marie's. And since dying, I have discovered that Marie did not always interpret my motives accurately. Firstly,
You need to understand that the Duchy of Omnium was the richest in the country. Its duke, the most esteemed of English aristocrats. And Planty inherited all that. So, suddenly, in Westminster, my social invitations were like gold. And I quickly realised that if a politician crossed Palliser, and I then crossed his wife off my party list, there was a good chance that wife would put pressure on her husband to be more politically accommodating. Now, Marie can continue.
So as soon as Cora realised the power she had, being Cora, she was eager to test it. And when I told her that Bonteen was going to stop Phineas from getting a ministry, she...
How did you know that?
Bonteen told me.
When?
When I tried to persuade him to help Finn. He took pleasure in telling me that he intended to do the opposite.
I see. Please continue.
I told Cora, and she went into action at the ball she held to celebrate the return of the Liberals to power.
What's Gresham offering you, Planty?
Oh, anything I want that I can still do from the Lords. So customs, post office, war. Haven't decided yet.
Take war.
I'd rather have something more useful.
A war's higher status, and I need you to declare it on Bonteen.
Why?
He's told Gresham he'll refuse the chancellorship if Finn is given any government appointment.
Oh, dear. But I'm not surprised.
So obviously you'll tell Gresham that you'll refuse to be in his cabinet unless you bring Finn in with you?
Ah, no.
Why not?
No, it's blackmail.
Oh, it's normal.
No, it's not gentlemanly.
Bonteen's doing it?
Bonteen isn't a gentleman.
Was it gentlemanly to tempt Finn back from Ireland with the promise of office and then not keep it?
I said it was possible, not definite.
Could at least talk to the PM?
No, Cora, I'm sorry.
Well, if Bonteen keeps Finn out, I simply won't answer for the consequences.
But I could talk to Bonteen.
Promise?
Yes.
When?
Now. He's in the billiard room.
And I think you can guess Bonteen's response.
He didn't back down.
Of course not. But neither did Cora, especially at night. Planty. Planty! Planty! Wake up.
What?
Bonteen plans to overthrow Mr. Gresham.
No, he doesn't. No.
Yes, he does.
Oh. How could you know that?
His wife told me.
How does she know?
Oh, Planty, really. She's his wife, for heaven's sake.
Palliser passed this misinformation on to Gresham, whose wife had already expressed her own doubts about Bonteen in exactly the words Cora had put in her mouth. So Bonteen wasn't offered the chancellorship.
Oh, good heavens.
And the matter came to a head that night at the Liberal Club.
Did you know that Bonteen took a route down an alleyway which led to the Strand?
Yes.
Is there any way he could have been visiting you?
It was past midnight. What are you suggesting?
Nothing, madam.
There are many ladies who live on the Strand. Now, have you finished your cake?
Yes. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to...
No, please go.
Yes, I will.
Wait. I have a question.
Please ask.
Do you think Finn's case is entirely hopeless? Tell me the truth.
Almost entirely.
Oh, God.
But not completely. Yet. Which is why I've decided to plead the case in court myself.
Naturally, as soon as Marie told me this, I couldn't stop myself going round to thank Lo. Only to wish very quickly that I hadn't.
Oh, Mr. Lo, I'm so glad you'll be in court.
Shh, please, I haven't told my wife yet.
Sorry.
Lord Fawn did it, of course.
Did he?
Well, he was at the scene, and we know how badly Bonteen treated him.
Lord Fawn isn't on trial next week, Your Grace.
But surely he'll raise suspicions.
Judges don't like barristers implicating people who aren't in the dock. It could rebound on Finn.
So what will you do?
Juries are frequently unwilling to hang, even in cases of murder.
So your only plan is to wait on a jury's whim?
Not entirely.
And see Finn transported, or whatever they do these days?
Lord Fawn is the only witness. All the rest of the evidence is circumstantial, and by all accounts, Fawn is a weak man.
And so?
I'll push him hard.
And now we come to something that remained a sore point between myself and my husband for years to come.
But it's the truth, Cora.
And it will hang Finn.
Not if Lowe manages to undermine Fawn's evidence.
You are going to admit in court that Finn pulled out a cosh and threatened Bonteen with it.
Only if I'm asked.
Have you told Lowe any of this?
You prevented me, remember? But I will say it was a gesture made in anger, not in threat. Finn waved it at Bonteen's back as he was leaving, and Bonteen was yards away by then.
And then, if asked, you will admit that Finn said he would dearly like to kill Bonteen.
It was a figure of speech. It doesn't mean he intended to.
Oh, tell that to the jury. But, no, silly me, that's exactly what you intend to do.
You're suggesting that I commit perjury?
To stop an innocent man from hanging, yes.
But we can't know he's innocent, can we?
I can, and so can Marie.
You believe it, but you don't know it.
He isn't a murderer, for heaven's sake.
He was sorely provoked.
So you think he did it?
I didn't say that.
Oh!
Now, Cora, listen to me.
What?
I believe
what?
In truth and justice and our courts.
And you know what I believe in? Friendship and loyalty!
The court is overflowing with politicians, society ladies and journalists intending to use the new telegraph cables to send their lurid accounts across the entire civilized world. After all, it isn't often that MPs in the mother of parliaments are accused of coshing their own ministers to death. Proceedings begin with the opening speeches. Sir Gregory Grigson for the prosecution, making much of Finn's quick temper, impulsiveness, and, of course, subtly implying that as an Irishman he was inherently prone to violence. Mr. Lowe for the defence, stressing the circumstantial nature of most of the evidence against Finn, and making much of Finn's habitual calm and absence of any violent history. Then it was time for witnesses, and Sir Gregory creates a shock by calling Finn as the first prosecution witness.
Mr. Finn, would it be fair to say that you hated Mr. Bonteen?
I disliked him intensely.
A fine distinction. What happened in that alleyway?
I don't know.
Why not?
I wasn't there.
He was seen following Nicholas Bonteen.
Yes, but I turned off before him.
Why?
To go home.
Do you have witnesses who saw you return?
No, sir. It was very late.
So, we only have your word for that. And given that you disliked Bonteen intensely, had angry exchanges with him only minutes before his death, and were in possession of a cosh that was found next day in the alley with portions of Mr. Bonteen's hair and skin on it, might any rational person consider it beyond reasonable doubt that you were the murderer?
Objection!
Sustained. That's a question for the jury to answer, Sir Gregory.
No further questions.
Mr. Lowe? Do you wish to cross-examine your client?
No, my lord.
This was the second shock. It would not be the last. Then Sir Gregory called Lord Fawn, who is as nervous as Finn was apparently impassive. So, Sir Gregory quickly comes to the point.
Lord Fawn, did you see Phineas Finn club Nicholas Bonteen to death in that alleyway?
I did.
You are quite certain?
I am.
No further questions.
Mr. Lowe, do you wish to cross-examine Lord Fawn?
Oh, yes, my lord. I do. How is your eyesight, my lord?
Good.
Good or very good?
Very good.
Perfect?
No one has perfect eyesight, I think.
Including you?
Of course.
How is your sight at night?
Tolerably good.
Perfect?
No, sir.
How dark was the alleyway in which Bonteen was killed?
It was night.
It was, in fact, by all accounts, a cloudy, starless night. And as I discovered myself just last night, there is only one small gas lamp at the Strand End. So, was the alleyway quite dark, or very? And please remember, you are on oath.
Very.
Thank you. This person you took to be Mr. Finn, was he facing you or facing away from you when you entered the alley?
Away.
So you couldn't see his face?
Not until he turned to run.
At which point he would have been silhouetted by the gaslight behind him.
I suppose so.
So he could have been anyone.
He was Finn's height. He moved like Finn.
As do many men. No further questions, my lord.
Finn now allowed himself a brief smile. Surely, it seemed to say, there is a faint glimmer of hope now. The judge then adjourned for lunch, and as my husband was likely to be called next, I had urgent words with Marie outside.
But if you tried and failed, Cora, what chance have I?
You know Palliser is devoted to you.
Which is different from being persuaded to perjure himself in court.
He values your opinions, unlike mine.
He respects you more than anyone.
But thinks me unreliable.
But for Palliser to lie anywhere?
Let alone in court?
If Palliser tells the truth about that night, Finn will hang. So will you try?
I would do anything to save his life.
Then do this now.
I don't lie, Marie.
I know. It is noble. But do you think they will find Finn guilty?
I consider it more than likely.
Do you think Finn capable of murder?
No.
You therefore think he's not guilty?
The evidence suggests otherwise.
So do you think he did it? You, Plenty? His friend?
I won't subvert justice, Marie. It's the most fundamental thing in the world.
No, it isn't.
Oh, then what is?
Love. Do it for love, Plenty.
Marie, Finn has become a friend, but I don't...
No, not you, me. I love him. And I couldn't bear it if he died.
Are you... Have you...
No. But before he went to Ireland, I asked him to marry me.
You asked him?
And he said no. But I still love him. Passionately. So, do it for me, Plenty. Lie for love.
Your Grace, on the night in question, was Mr. Finn angry with Mr. Bonteen?
Yes.
Very angry?
Yes.
Did Finn make threats towards Bonteen? Your Grace.
Inside the club, I thought he was about to challenge Bonteen to a duel, but I stopped him, so he may not have been. It's supposition.
Did he threaten Bonteen outside? Your Grace, did you hear the question?
I did.
Then please answer it.
He did threaten Bonteen outside.
Did Finn threaten to kill Bonteen?
He said he would like to.
And were there any other threatening behaviours towards Bonteen?
He pulled out a club.
A club?
A cosh. Lots of MPs are carrying them. There have been attacks at night.
And what did Finn do with this bludgeon?
As Bonteen walked away, he made gestures at him.
Threatening gestures?
Yes.
And did Finn then follow Mr. Bonteen?
He went off in the same direction.
No further questions.
But Mr. Finn's house is in that direction.
The prosecution case rests.
Mr. Lowe.
Your Grace, did you see Mr. Finn murder Mr. Bonteen?
No, sir.
No further questions.
Finn's faint, hopeful smile was now replaced by the impassive mask he had worn hitherto. And that mask remained in place during the long sequence of character witnesses called by the defence and the summing up by Lowe and Sir Gregory. The judge then announced that he would give his own summing up the following day. And then something happened that shattered all hope.
Before we adjourn, I would like to issue a warning. I was approached this morning on behalf of the defendant by my wife. She in turn had been approached by the wife of a great peer of this realm, who had apparently threatened to withdraw all social invitations to my wife if she did not approach me. I want to make it clear that if this great lady, or anyone else, tries to pervert the course of justice in my court, I shall throw them in jail. Whether it be my wife, a peer's wife, or anybody else's wife. Is that understood?
Have you ever done things that make you suddenly cry out in public for shame and embarrassment years after? Well, when I recall this, let alone watch it again, I still do. Even beyond the grave.
What in God's name were you thinking of, Cora?
That you wouldn't lie to save our friend, so I took other action.
Do you realise the damage it's done?
I'm not in prison yet.
Only because of who you are, Your Grace. But Finn may hang because of it.
Oh, don't be ridiculous, Lo.
Judges are human, and you've just prejudiced ours.
You demolished Fawn's evidence.
I planted a small seed of doubt in the jury's mind. The judge's summing up will be decisive.
And if his summing up is biased, I'll go to the Home Secretary's wife.
Are you insane?
And if he doesn't give Finn justice, I'll go to the Queen!
You'll go nowhere and do nothing, do you understand? Call her, do you?
Mr. Lo?
Madam Gosler.
They will hang him now, yes?
It's more than probable.
Could you call another witness?
It would be the judge's decision, and thanks to the Duchess, he's not well disposed. Do you have one?
Yes.
More character testimonies will make no difference.
This witness was at the scene of the crime and saw everything.
Who is this witness, madame?
Me.
Come this way. Well, madame?
Phineas didn't murder Bontine.
How do you know?
I was in the alley when it happened. Finn wasn't, as he said.
Oh, why on earth didn't you say this before? Why did you lie to me?
Standing in a witness box in a murder trial would have destroyed me socially.
You value your social reputation more than a man's life.
I hoped you would prove Finn's innocence without risking either.
You were gambling with his life.
Mr. Lowe, you are a man. You can have no idea.
Of what?
Of the ruin that would have... that now faces me. And it was not just that.
What else?
What I will say in court is enough.
You must tell me everything now.
Before the jury retires, I shall give my summary of the evidence presented to you by my learned friends and...
Milord!
Mr. Lowe?
I request another witness.
You've already had your witnesses, Mr. Lowe.
This one came forward only yesterday, but I believe the testimony will prove beyond all reasonable doubt the innocence of the defendant.
Objection, Miller. This is most irregular.
But it's not unprecedented, Sir Gregory. And given that one man's life has been lost and another is at stake, please call your witness, Mr. Lowe.
I call Madame Marie Gersler, Miller.
Call Madame Marie Gersler!
Madame Gersler, could you please tell the jury where you live?
The Strand, number 35.
And is this close to the scene of the crime?
The alley in which Mr. Bontine was murdered runs into the Strand next to my house, yes.
And one of your windows overlooks that alley?
My bedroom.
Were you asleep or awake when Mr. Bontine and Mr. Finn came into the alleyway?
I was asleep, but Mr. Finn did not come into it.
You are certain of that?
Yes.
Tell us what woke you.
I heard voices arguing.
Did you recognize these voices?
One was Mr. Bontine and the other was Lord Fawn.
You knew both men?
Yes.
How?
I had met them socially.
What did you do when you heard their voices?
I got out of bed and looked out of the window.
And what did you see?
Mr. Bontine was insulting Lord Fawn, calling him terrible names that I would prefer not to repeat in court.
I have written these names down, my lord.
Thank you.
And a copy for my learned colleague and the jury. We have heard that the alley was dark. How could you tell?
My window is above the gas lamp. They were in its light.
Tell us what happened next.
Lord Fawn ran at Mr. Bontine. Mr. Bontine hit Lord Fawn with his fist and knocked him down. Mr. Bontine then knelt down next to Lord Fawn and began strangling him. Lord Fawn then hit Mr. Bontine several times about the head with a cosh. I believe he did it to save his own life.
And then?
Mr. Bontine slumped to the ground.
Did he get up?
No.
So, to be crystal clear, madame, Mr. Bontine was very much alive when Lord Fawn came into the alley.
Yes.
And Mr. Finn was simply not there when the killing occurred.
That is correct.
So Lord Fawn lied when he testified that Finn was there?
Yes.
Why did you not come forward before?
I thought Mr. Finn would be found innocent without my testimony.
But as soon as you thought that might not happen, you came forward?
I did.
No further questions, Milord?
Would Sir Gregory like to cross-examine this witness?
I would, but in view of the witness's late appearance, I beg Milord's indulgence for a short break so that I can consider the implications of her testimony.
You may. Court is adjourned till after lunch.
As soon as the court cleared, I went to Marie, but she fled the building. Then I saw our good prosecutor disappearing into a side room with Lord Fawn, and they didn't come out until the court reassembled and Marie was called to be cross-examined.
Oh, Madame Marie Gerstler!
She walked through the court with her head bowed, as if it was she who would now be hung, not Finn.
Madame Gerstler, was Nicholas Bonteen going to visit you that night?
I had certainly not invited him, and I would not have expected a visit from anyone that late, let alone someone I knew very superficially.
Am I right in thinking that you devoted a good deal of your time caring for the old Duke of Omnium before he died?
Yes.
And the old Duke was fond of you?
He said so.
Very fond, in fact.
Objection, my lad. What relevance has this to the murder of Mr. Bonteen?
That will become clear very soon, my lad.
Then proceed, but make sure it does.
The old Duke was fabulously wealthy, was he not?
I believe so.
And was it generally thought that you would be remembered in his will?
Some people thought that. I never did.
Your devotion to the old Duke being purely platonic.
My lad, please, this is insinuation of the worst kind.
The relevance will become clear very soon, my lad.
It had better. And in the meantime, remember you are cross-examining a lady.
Yes, my lad. As a result of these rumours, did you, as an eligible widow of, may I say, great personal charms, find yourself in receipt of more male visitors than usual?
My lad, I must protest.
And were two of them Lord Fawn and Mr. Bonteen?
Objection overruled.
Were they, madam?
They were.
I'm glad you've admitted.
Objection! Madam Gerstler admitted nothing. She simply answered a question.
Of course, but I'm grateful that you felt able to confirm what Lord Fawn himself told me when we adjourned, that he visited you with a view to marriage, and that he had spied Mr. Bonteen leaving and what he assumed was a similar mission. Now, to save us calling Mr. Finn back, is it not the case that he also called to pledge his troth?
No.
His wife in Ireland had recently died, I think.
Yes.
And as an MP rather than a minister, he was unpaid and had no private means, so he was in need of money.
He may well have been.
Did you see a lot of Mr. Bonteen while Mr. Finn was in Ireland?
I met him on occasion, socially, but never without other people present.
But you visited him alone, at least once, I believe? To beg a favour for Mr. Finn?
Just that once.
Once is more than never, madam. And you met him more than occasionally, didn't you? I can recall Lord Fawn, if you wish. He was close to Mr. Bonteen, and he says he saw you together more than a few times.
That is a question of interpretation, I think.
My lord, where is this line of questioning leading? It's all innuendo and rumour.
It's leading to one conclusion, my lord, that there was a web of jealousy surrounding this good lady. Three men drawn into it by what they thought was her great wealth. Of the three, one of them is now dead, another accused of his murder, and the woman who lurks at the centre of this web has withheld information from this court, but we are expected to believe her testimony. I put it to the jury that this woman has allowed the court to be deceived and continues to withhold information from it, and therefore nothing she has said can be trusted. It is as likely as anything else that she is trying to incriminate one of her old lovers in order to save the one she favours now.
Objection!
Silence! Silence!
Why did you put her on the stand?
I warned her that Sir Gregory might do exactly what he did.
And she still wanted to testify?
She's a brave woman.
And you let her?
To save your life.
And let hers be ruined?
What choice was there?
Get out!
When you have answered one question...
Warder!
What exactly is your relationship to Madame Gerstler?
What's the noise about?
I've nothing else to say to this man. Please take him away.
Yes, sir.
Leave us. I am staying, Finn. I am trying to understand.
What for? It's over. They'll either believe Marie or they'll believe Fawn. And I'd rather hang than drag Marie's name through the dirt anymore. Now go!
Will the jury please rise?
Foreman, have you agreed a verdict?
We have, my lord.
Do you find the defendant guilty or not guilty?
Not guilty, my lord.
Naturally, I assumed Finn would be overjoyed. But I was wrong.
Phineas, congratulations. You must be so relieved and happy.
Where's Marie?
She didn't come back after her testimony.
No, I'll call on her. She'll obviously want to hear some good news.
Finn, I can't tell you how sorry I was to have to testify as I did.
No need. You told the truth, as you always do.
Come to the country with us. Get away from all this.
No, thank you.
No, I absolutely insist.
Cora.
What?
No. Very pale, Phineas. Are you all right?
I don't know. I've held myself together for weeks by sheer will, and now I think I need to go back to my own rooms, and I don't know. So, please, excuse me.
Marie, your maid said you weren't seeing anyone, but I know that doesn't include me. They found him innocent, Marie. Finn is free. Oh, open the door, Marie, please.
Come in.
Oh, you're packing.
I'm going back to Prague.
Why?
You were in court.
Yes, but I see no reason for you
Everything the prosecutor insinuated is already in the People's Banner, and the respectable papers will follow. I'll be ostracized.
If anyone tries to do that, I'll ostracize them. Now let's get these clothes out of your trunk, shall we?
No, Cora, leave them, please.
Finn, it's Palliser. Let me in, there's a good chap. You can't hide away forever, can you?
Come in. It's not a pretty sight. Neither am I, I'm sure. Would you like a cup of tea?
No, thank you. I'm only here to convey good news. I've just come from Parliament.
I resigned my seat.
That's why I'm here. We all want you back.
And who would we be?
Everyone in the party.
I'm never going into that building again.
Why?
To be stared at by men who thought me guilty?
No one thinks you're guilty now. And you'll be offered a ministry. I have that straight from Gresham.
Why would I want to step on the dirty ladder again?
Because you have to be on it if you want to do anything good.
I've been on it. It's crooked as well as dirty.
Which is why honest men need to climb it.
I don't care anymore, Planty. It's all one. Men fly at each other's throats, make false accusations, lie and slander each other, kill each other. I used to think we were like gods. Now I know we're pygmies.
Give it time.
There's only one thing I want to do now.
What's that?
To thank Marie, and I can't even work up the courage to do that.
Well, that you must do, and soon. Cora tells me she's determined to leave the country.
Yes?
Is Madame Goesler at home?
Yes, but she isn't receiving visitors.
She'll see me.
Sir, please, sir, come back.
Marie, I'm sorry for barging in this way.
I couldn't stop him, madame. He just came.
But there are things I have to say.
I'd rather you didn't.
But I must, and I will.
Shall I call the peelers, ma'am?
No. It's all right, Mary. Leave us.
Ma'am.
I didn't come before because the experience of prison and the trial unmanned me. I feared I'd weep in front of you and you'd despise me.
I could never despise you.
You saved my life at great cost to yourself. And I can't thank you enough.
I would have done it for anyone. So, I'd be grateful if you would leave now.
No, once, before I returned to Ireland, you made me an offer.
Please.
And I refused it because I was promised elsewhere.
I was stupid.
You want to know.
And I was never so humiliated in my life.
I know, and I'm sorry.
Until this trial.
But now I would like to accept.
When I discovered that humiliation has depths so profound that... What did you say?
Will you marry me? Marie?
I can't.
Why not? Do you think I'm like Bontine and Fawn? I don't want your money. I have proved that, I think.
You would be marrying a lie.
What do you mean?
I lied in court. When I heard the voices in the alley, it was your voice I heard, Phineas. Not Fawn's.
Bontine!
Phineas Fenn. What an unpleasant surprise.
I rushed down.
Why?
I feared what Bontine would do to you. He's a violent man, believe me, I know this. But by the time I had thrown on a cloak and made my way down, you had already gone. Fawn arrived after. But you had been there, hadn't you? Tell me, I know your voice.
Yes.
Why did you lie in court?
I knew it would incriminate me.
hang me. I thought nobody but Bontine had seen me there.
I heard you. What happened between you and Bontine before I got down?
Bontine! Phineas Finn. What an unpleasant surprise. What do you want?
Why did you follow him?
To kill him. I mean, I was in a murderous mood. Everything he had ever said to me was running through my head. Every insult, every slight. I even pulled out the cosh.
Well, well, old Finn, you obviously mean business. Well, come on, then. Let's see what you're made of.
But I couldn't. I can't kill. I dropped the cosh. Bontine just laughed, and I ran.
You didn't see Fawn?
No.
Well, he must have seen you, because he came into the alley seconds later. Bontine was still chuckling, and when he saw Fawn, he started laughing again.
Oh, you too, Fawn. All the assassins are out in force tonight.
I came to protect you from Finn. Stop laughing.
But you're laughable, Fawn. You came to protect me. Why? Are you in love? I've always suspected it.
Shut up!
Oh, the worm turns. There's a cosh on the ground right next to your feet. Why don't you pick it up and use it on me? You'd like to, wouldn't you? Because love and hate go together like old married couples. But you haven't got the guts to kill the thing you love, have you?
Fawn then picked up your cosh.
Because you're not really a man, Fawn, are you? You're not even a woman. You're something else. A human maggot or worm. Or maybe you're just nothing.
And then Fawn ran at Bontine and hit him with the cosh. And when Bontine fell to his knees, he hit him again.
Who's laughing now? Who's the maggot?
I ran out of the shadows and tried to get it off him. But he pushed me away and hit Bontine again.
Who's the worm?
Fawn stopped and stared at me. I'd seen him murder Bontine. I thought he was going to kill me. But then he obviously realized he didn't have to.
I know what happened between you and Bontine. He told me everything. Everything. And if you speak to anyone about this, I'll tell everyone and ruin you. I'll get it in Quintus like filthy rag. You'll be nothing. Nothing. Do you understand? Like me.
But in court, you said Fawn did it in self-defense.
I hoped that would prevent him from carrying out his threat.
I don't understand. What did he think he knew about you and Bontine?
You really should leave.
Tell me.
I think Bontine was coming to see me.
Marie. Marie.
Why?
Marie.
I turned down his marriage proposal, of course. But he kept pestering me afterwards, wherever I went.
Marie! Come to the window, damn you.
But then, stupid.
What?
When I heard he was blocking your promotion to government, I thought I could at least turn his infatuation to some good. And when I called at his house, he agreed not to, on one condition.
That you marry him?
No, Phineas. The old Duke was already dead by then, and it was known that he had left me nothing of material value.
Then what?
For God's sake, can't you imagine? I refused, of course, but that made no difference.
He continued to pester you after?
Yes.
And why didn't you tell?
Who? And say what? Who would have listened? I had gone alone to the house of a known womanizer. He was a man, I am a woman. He used to be Home Secretary. Oh, please go, Finn. This is too painful. I'm going back to Prague tomorrow.
No, you're not.
Don't try to make me do things. Finn, Bontine did that.
I want you to marry me. But only if you want. Do you? Still?
After everything I have just told you.
Yes. Will you? Marry me, Marie. Please.
On one condition.
Anything.
This is never mentioned again. And you ask me no more about it. Ever.
And so we have a happy ending. But not completely. Because something else occurred in that alley that Marie couldn't bring herself to tell Finn. Something that she never told anybody, including me. Something only I can show you, now I am dead.
Marie.
You see, when Fawn left, he thought he had killed Bonteen. But he wasn't dead. He was hurt badly, but still alive, and wanting to say something to Marie. So she kneels down next to him and puts her ear to his mouth.
If I live long enough, I'm going to say Finn did this to me. And then... I'm going to say what you did for me the night you came begging me to help him.
I did nothing for you.
And I watched you enjoyed it.
You took me. You raped me.
And who would believe that, madam?
And then Marie, my friend, my elegant, oh-so-civilized, but sorely abused friend, sees Finn's bloodied cosh lying where Fawn had thrown it, picks it up, and then... And that was the secret I spoke about at the beginning. Now, if I had known it before I died, would I have allowed Madame Marie Goesler to become my greatest friend and go on, as we did, to plot the rise and downfall of governments? Well, powerful men do worse all the time. So, why not?
In the palaces, Cora was Jessica Rain, Plantagenet Tim McMullen, and Finn Edward McLeam. Lowe was Jonathan Keeble, Marie Melody Grove, and Bonteen and Sir Gregory Eugene O'Hare. Lord Fawn was played by Lloyd Peters, Mary Flood Sinead McKinney's, the Judge Hamilton Burstock, and the Policeman and the Usher Icky Elias. The Palaces was dramatised by Mike Harris, based on the novels by Anthony Trollope. It was a BBC Radio Drama North production, directed by Gary Brown.